I apologize that I did not send the title before. I could not decide what to talk about, but let me give the title. So I will talk about one of my favorite topics, and I will talk about Corona ideals. Curvature. And annoying three halves, and I will get to this. So let me remind the famous Carlson Corona theory. Oh, and I forget, do I have 50 minutes or 1 hour? That's okay. I'll see if everybody is asleep. I will get my hands off. Let me remind you. Corona theorem. Suppose we have a vector, say column vector, f1, f2, fn, with entries h infinity, which is just bounded analytic functions in the open unit disk. And suppose we know that Euclidean norm of f of z, which is just sum fk of z, is bounded below by some positive constant delta, and then there exist G now, row vector G1, Gn, again in H infinity, and here I mean that each entry belongs to H infinity, such that the product, just matrix product Gf, which is just GKFK, is identically 1. So that is the famous Carlson-Corona theorem. And let me realize this condition, theorem, as the following, that let 1 is bounded by a norm of f of z in the unit disk, and that implies, okay, 1 is bounded by constant times norm f of z for all z in the unit disk, and that implies that there exists called rho g in H infinity such that gf is identically 1. And, or equivalently, that this statement means that 1 belongs to the ideal generated by F1, Fn. That's exactly. Now, one immediately can ask a question. What happens if we replace 1 by some function tau, where tau is color function in H infinity. So suppose we know that tau is bounded by f of z by absolute value, tau of z is bounded by f of z, does it imply that tau belong to the ideal generated? And if you know, if you read the Garnett's book, the answer, of course, to this question is no, and that was like late 60s by Rao. Now, but, and immediately people ask different question. What if we put exponent p here? Or, in general case, if we put some function phi where phi is function from the positive real line to the positive real line, and say, which is increasing, and say continuous, phi of 0 is 0. So, and so now for phi of x equal x to the power p, it was known that the answer is yes if p is greater than 2, and it was known to be no if p is less than 2. So 2 was the critical exponent here. And it was somewhere in 80s was known, and left me now the case of p equal 2 was the case p equal 2 was open until a few years ago, and that was kind of the famous question by Tom Wolf, and the answer turns out to be no, and that is one of my results. But today I'm going to talk about a different kind of problem. I would like to talk about some positive results, and so okay, in the scale of power functions, kind of this picture gives complete answer. Now, what will happen if we add something like logarithms and something like that? And the best that was known until a couple years ago was that for phi of x equal x squared divided by log 1 over x, 1 over log 1 over x into some power which I do not want to even reproduce here. The answer was yes. And let me mention some names here. I believe it's all started with work by Lin, where he got kind of critical exponent 3/2. Then Grell get this and something here, and then kind of a recent result of Trent and Jordi Pau. I believe Pau was the record holder up to the same moment. But everybody got this 3/2, so all kind of fight was of the higher order terms. Yes, it's ordered, of course it's. And now you can ask, you probably ask yourself, why would anybody interested in kind of trying to get those asymptotics, and why it's interesting, and you know, I could not tell. Good reason, except that this every time I look at this formula, this exponent 3/2 annoyed me extremely. And there is an old Russian joke about the difference between a crazy person and a guy and a person with neurosis. A crazy person is sure that 2 times 2 is 5. And the guy with neurosis knows that, neurotic guy knows that 2 times 2 is 4, and that annoys him. And so, these 3/2 annoyed me extremely, and I did not. And let me explain why this 3/2 annoyed me. And to explain this, let me remind you something about estimates in Corona theorem. Namely, let us introduce constant C of delta as the following. We take supremum over all F, H infinity, and F of G is between delta and 1. And F here, I mean not scalar function, but the column vector as here. And then I take infimum infinity norm of G such that G again rho vector and H infinity such that GF is identically 1. So basically what we have, we take corona data F and we find best possible solution, solution of the best possible norm. And then we want to find the worst possible day, worst possible corona day. And so, what was here, what is known about this C of delta. It is known that it is bounded by some absolute constant times delta to the power minus 2 log 1 over delta. And I believe I should put name of Uchiyama here. It belongs to who modified Wolf's proofs. And it was known that it is bounded below by C to the power minus delta, and that was known since 80s due to Telokonnikov. And then log 1 over delta, and this extra again 80s, and this extra log belongs to me. Now, and okay, what is the connection between estimates in corona and problem of ideals? And the relation is the following, that ideals is equivalent to the problem of ideals with estimates. Problem of ideals with estimates.
What do you mean by the problem of ideals? Tau problem?
Yes, problem of ideals is the problem tau, and what is problem of ideals with estimate means that if we have f of z, say, let's normalize it, bounded by 1 for all z, and tau is bounded by phi of f of z implies that there exists g in h infinity, gf is identically tau, and norm of g is bounded by some absolute constant k, which of course depend on phi. Now, this look like something like Banach-Steinhaus or uniform boundedness principle, but it's a little bit more deep, so it would not follow from some abstract nonsense theorem, so it's not an abstract theorem. You have to work with functions, but it is possible to show that if for a given phi this implication is true, then that implication is also true. So the problem of ideals and the problem of ideals with estimates are equivalent. And now let me just see what we will get. So suppose, so how Corona theorem and Corona theorem with estimates are related? So let we now have function f of z is bounded between 1 and delta. And let we got tau be just constant phi of delta times 1. So consider function be just a constant. And of course, this tau satisfy because now the solution of equation GF equal 1 has norm bounded by constant delta minus 2. Bounded by C of delta. If we try to solve equation GF is identically phi of delta times 1, then we have bounded by constant of delta times phi of delta. That but we also know that it should be bounded by some constant k, and so because of the estimates, and therefore we will get the relation that C of delta should be bounded by k divided by phi of delta. It's not equivalence, but it's a relation between those two problems. It's a relation between those two problems. And now, if you look carefully at that inequality, you can see that there is kind of a leap of logic, because and if we know that G is estimated by K and G is estimated by ZA, why can I write those inequality? Okay, I would take Corona data that gives me equality here. I will take Corona data that gives me equality here, or almost equality. And for this Corona data, I will still have this estimate. So that is, so there is no leap of logic. And so we have this relation. And according to this relation, the correct exponent should be. According to this relation, the correct exponent in phi should be not 3/2, but 1. Now, let me go a little bit and explain those results. Why the answer is no for pi less than 2? The answer is no for pi less than 2 because of this estimate that constant is greater than delta minus 2. So anything better than delta to the power minus 2 would not work for pi. This extra bump gives you answer no for p equal to 2. Now, again, that is not proof, that is just, so that is heuristic that explain why these 3/2 annoyed me. So I wanted to understand, is there a reason for extra 1/2, or is just that we do not understand anything, we just get a bad proof. And let me state kind of couple of results, and I will not keep you intrigued, but let me state theorem 1. And theorem 1 says that let the measure Laplace of log mod f of z. Okay, let me put it squared multiplied by f to the power minus 2 times tau of z 1 minus mod z dx dy is Carlson. Then there exist is equal tau, and let me recall. Okay. That measure mu is called Carlson if integral over the unit disk f squared of z after f of z squared the mu of z is bounded by constant integral over circle with respect to the Lebesgue measure for any f in the Hardy space H2, or you can think for any analytic polynomial. So that is the Carlson measure, and there is a geometric characteristic of such measures, but it's not kind of very interesting. Now, let me safe kind of remark that this Laplacian of log f squared is equal up to a constant f to the power 4 f squared f prime squared minus the inner product f f prime squared, and that is just the curvature of the line bundle, so it's all can be, so that is just the curvature of the line bundle generated by the vector f. But this is nice, but how this theorem is related to the original question, and let me state a theorem 2 that says that let we have psi from the positive half line to the positive half line, decreasing function, decreasing and bounded, and such that integral from 0 to infinity of psi is finite. So then for phi of x equal x squared psi of log 1 over x squared, the answer is yes. The answer to the problem of ideals is yes. Now, if we recall kind of calculus and what a function, what a scale of function of improper integrals that converge at infinity, we can say that, for example, phi of x, which behaves asymptotically at zero, as x squared of log 1 over x to the power 1 plus epsilon works, or phi of x equal x squared log 1 over x log log 1 over x to the power 1 plus epsilon. This function also work, or you can iterate as many times as you want. So any of this function would work, and that is. Now, so that let me erase that and let me say how those two theorems are related. And let me state lemma 1, that let we have a non-negative subharmonic function u, and a function psi as in theorem 2. Then the measure Laplace u multiplied by psi of minus u times distance to the boundary 1 minus v is Carlesson. Now, if we get this So why does this lemma help us? Now, if we put u subharmonic function by log mod f squared, and if we know that tau is bounded by phi of f, then f to the power minus 2 times tau is bounded by the psi of log mod f squared with minus. And that is exactly our u. So if we look up here, the Laplacian is Laplacian of u, and the second term, f minus 2 times tau, is estimated by psi of minus u, and that is how it's done. Now, let me tell you few words about this lemma. Let me tell you few words about this lemma. Yes, that was exactly what I told you. So, a well-known fact, and it's called, I call it Uchiyama lemma, which says the following, that if u is bounded and subharmonic, then Laplacian of u of z is Carlson. And to this, let me. So, in fact, lemma 1 is some version of this Uchiyama's lemma. So what one has to do if we do not have condition of boundedness. And let me state lemma 2, that let M be function from the negative half axis to the, say, interval 0, 1. And, okay, it should be increasing function. Such that the matrix M, M prime, is positive semi-definite. If the matrix then and let U is non-negative subharmonic function, then the measure M prime of U of the Laplace U times distance to the boundary is Carlson. So let me say few words about the proof. Idea of the proof of this lemma. So what we want to estimate for arbitrary function H, where H belongs to the Hardy space H2, it's greater than or equal integral M of U and up to a constant, it is just integral over disk by Green's formula. I think constant is 2 over pi, but Laplace of m h squared log 1 over mod z dx dy. That is just Green formula. And now if we compute Laplace of M of U H squared, what we will get, let me not do this computation, but just write down it. M of U H squared plus 2 real part M prime of U D bar U H prime H bar plus m2 prime of u du squared h squared and plus m prime of u Laplace of u log of just mod of h squared. So what? And those three terms using this condition of positive definiteness, we can see that this expression is non-negative. So if we want to put correct signs, we will continue to estimate that it will be greater than or equal than integral m prime of u Laplace of u h squared log 1 over mod c. Now, people familiar with this business probably would recognize this proof. And let me say why. Let me m of x equal exponent to the power x, or m of x equal exponent to the power ax with positive a are examples of functions that satisfy the assumption of this lemma. Now, if we use those m in this proof, we get exactly the proof of Uchiyama's lemma. So that is how Uchiyama's lemma is proved. So that is just generalization of Uchiyama's lemma, and that is how. And that is not, I would like to mention that for this this function m is in some case optimal function for this problem. It's because the matrix here is degenerate. If you compute this matrix, it will be rank 1 matrix, not rank 2. So it's degenerate case. So from the point of view of Bellman function, that is optimal function, but that does not work very well. And now, but how this convexity condition is related to this integral condition? And that is, let me state it as lemma 3 is, that the function psi of x can be estimated by m prime of minus x, where psi is the function from theorem 2 satisfying this integral condition, and m is function from the lemma 2. And the estimate is very simple, and this is kind of, so okay, I'll consider function 1 over r, characteristic function of the interval from 0 And essentially, any such function psi is a convex combination of such function. And that function is estimated by 1 over r e exponent minus x over r. And this function is integrable with the integral that does not depend on r, which is just e o. So it's just antiderivative. So when we took convex combination of such function, we will get our derivative, we will get our m prime of minus x. So that is, now that was kind of one of the two critical ideas of this theorem, because if I would like to find, okay, it is possible, kind of morally, all Carlesson measures can be obtained as from the Laplacian of bounded subharmonic function. But to find this bounded subharmonic function in particular case can be tricky. So kind of this lemma 2 is helpful, that you do not need to find the bounded subharmonic function. That is one idea. And now let me say a few words, it will be a couple minutes, of the second crucial ideals. And the second crucial idea is the idea to introduce some geometry here. And namely, let me mention so-called and Nikolsky lemma. Let me state it in more general situation. So suppose we have f in H infinity. Now we say that f is a tall matrix, and we know that f star f is bounded away from zero. And then there exists G in H infinity. It's now a long matrix such that GF is identically 1 if and only if there exists bounded analytic projection onto the range of F. So there exists P in H infinity, P squared equal P, so that is the property of the projection, and run P of Z equal run F of Z for all Z. So that kind of idea allows to reduce Corona problem to some kind of, to find this to some geometric problem. And I would like to say that I call it twice surprising lemma because I was twice surprised. First I was surprised because I did not believe it, because when you think about projections, you automatically think about orthogonal ones. And there are no non-trivial orthogonal analytic projections. So the trick here is that it's not orthogonal. And the second surprise was when I realized how simple is the proof. Let me give just one direction. T equals FG. We just have to take product in. And then it is easy exercise in elementary algebra that P squared equal P. And so that is kind of the proof. And let me mention kind of the analog of this, that existence of G in H infinity such that GF equal tau is equivalent to the existence of a function R. Is just one dimensional space spanned by vector f of z, or the rank of matrix f of z. So in other words, it just says that R is tau times P, where P is projection, is analytic projection onto the range of F. Of course, in this situation, P is not bounded. It can be unbounded, but after multiplying by tau, it is bounded. And that kind of introduction of the geometry allowed me to get to deal with the curvature term. So to deal with this complete term. And in all kind of known proofs, if you look at this curvature expression, you see it's the difference of two terms. And in all known proofs, those two terms are estimated separately. And as far as I understand, they were estimated optimally. So if you estimate it separately, you would get extra 1/2, and that is, so we're just able to get some consolation out of that. And that is, and now let me kind of mention two conjectures or two open problems. And one conjecture is that this theorem about psi, about function phi, is sharp. Unfortunately, I have no idea how to prove it, but the answer looks so nice, so you don't. It's natural conjecture. And the second kind of more ambitious problem, is it possible to find when individual function belongs to the ideal? So is it possible to write some conditions that, like condition of the theorem 1 that involves Carlson measure or something, that would be necessary and sufficient for tau to belong to the ideal? And unfortunately, this condition is sufficient of the theorem 1, but not necessary. That I know. So something, but maybe something kind of more interesting can be done. Okay, thank you very much for the attention.